This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
What's going on, AfterBuzzers? It is Spotlight On here on AfterBuzz TV, and today we shine the spotlight on Emilio Garcia Sanchez of Netflix's Society. But that's not what he's all about. He has so much more up his sleeve. So let's get to know him here on AfterBuzz TV. Stay tuned and let's get buzzing.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yo, what's going on, AfterBuzzers? It's your boy Nino, and today I'm here for Spotlight On. This is my young adult teen drama kind of music. You know what I'm saying? Like after school special?
Absolutely.
Right?
That's totally
fun, right?
Absolutely.
But I'm not here alone. You know, we have to shine the spotlight on somebody every time that we're here at AfterBuzz. And today, this man right here, he just hit on Netflix with The Society, and he has so much more we want to learn about. Please say hello to Emilio Garcia Sanchez.
Hey, everyone.
Ooh, we got a crowd in here, too.
Wow.
We got a live audience. Did you know that?
All the stops. I love it. Live audience. What's up, guys?
All the stops. First off, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, Nino. Thanks for having me again.
Amazing.
How are
Thank
you? What's going on?
I'm pretty good. Everything's been great. We have you on today. I'm really excited for this interview, actually.
Oh, my God.
So I feel like there's a lot to talk about because we want to get to know you more. I don't think the world knows you enough. You know what I mean?
All right.
So well, I hope you're ready. You ready?
I'm ready. I'm gonna open up. I'm going to spill all the beans.
Perfect. Let's do it, man.
Let's do it, Nino.
First off, congratulations because season two is coming of The Society. Last time you were here, that was just a question in your head, whether or not it was going to go to season
two. Yeah, we hadn't been renewed yet.
No, we were anxiously awaiting, right?
Yeah, we were still waiting. But then we thankfully did get renewed for a second season, coming out in 2020.
2020, man. Yeah. I'm excited for that. But speaking of that, okay, so Netflix, this is like a reoccurring role on a what ended up being a really big show for Netflix and such a big following.
Yeah.
How did this feel? How does this ride feel so far since everything's happened? From booking the role to now, like how has the ride been for you?
In all honesty, it's really been a dream come true. And I'm sorry if that sounds really cliche, but
be corny and cliche as you want, man. You deserve it.
Yeah, dude. I love cliches, but I couldn't be more thankful for the response that it's had and just for the opportunity that Netflix, you know, gave all of us and is continuing to give us with this season two. But what was really just special about this experience so far and what's really been a huge feat has just been its global presence. You know, you reach out. It's such a crazy time with social media, but like you have people reaching out from Turkey to Brazil. Shout out Turkey. Shout out Brazil. You know, shout out Mexico.
Has it been dubbed in other languages?
Yeah, absolutely, man. And it's global. It's like you couldn't ask for anything cooler, man. That's
crazy.
A trip.
Have you watched it in another language?
I haven't yet, actually.
No, that'd be interesting, right? To see your character play.
I'm doing that tonight. That sounds crazy. Yeah. I want to hear all the other dubs too, though.
Yeah,
that's wild.
There's one that I watched. It was I think it was Always a Witch. It was based in Cartagena.
And I
didn't know it was dubbed in the beginning. So I was watching this like, wow, my audio sucks. What's going on? I had no idea that it was in a whole nother language. And I watched it. I watched it for like, I want to say like two episodes, not knowing.
Wow.
So, and to see it later on and realize, okay, it was dubbed, but it was so cool to see something else from a whole nother country.
Absolutely.
And so here in the US, I could imagine how it is for the other fans.
It's a trip. Yeah. It really is, man.
Watch it. Let me know what you think.
Absolutely. Definitely going
to
do that.
That would be pretty funny to see yourself dubbed in a whole nother voice.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, this had to start from somewhere, from the beginning. You know what I mean? Your whole love for acting and you getting to where you are. Let's start with the beginning. Tell me your story. Tell me a little bit about your story. Where did you grow up? And, like, was this always a dream for you?
Well, I'm from the Bay Area.
Shout out to the Bay.
Shout out to the Bay, 510. I was raised in a small little town called Alameda, which is just adjacent to Oakland. And, you know, I didn't get into theater or acting until my senior year of high school.
Okay.
Where I kind of on a whim needed another art credit and also had some interest in the musical. But prior to that moment, to that senior year spring musical that I ended up doing, I was a huge jock, man. I was a huge football player. Shocking. I don't know. Maybe I feel like some people might have guessed that through my character
on the society. Not at all, bro.
Yeah, not at all. But I was actually an offensive and defensive tackle. I was a lineman. I was also about like 85 pounds heavier.
No way.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to show me a picture.
I'm gonna have to show you an exclusive photo. So I was like the huge stereotypical jock in high school. And then my senior year, I kind of just, I was looking towards the future, and I knew that as much as I loved football and as good as I was at football, that wasn't something that I could do the rest of my life. And just on a whim, I knew I was a very like social person. I was always very much like a class clown. And I thought, theater and improv, that could be a fun little outlet.
Yeah.
And then I expressed some interest to the drama teacher. Shout out Fred Jacone. Changed my life.
Look at that. Shout out to you.
Shout out to all the great teachers. But Fred Jacone, like really, he was the drama teacher at the time. And he threw me into the spring musical, which was Peter Pan.
Shut up. What did you play?
Yeah, I played Bill Jukes, who was a pirate for Captain Hook, one of his biggest and strongest henchmen. And he was looking for bigger guys.
That's perfect.
Yeah, and dude, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't audition for that. I didn't. I was busy because we were in playoffs at the time. Playoffs kind of goes into like December, late fall. And I didn't have time to audition for the spring musical, but because, I was like 6'3" and huge, it's like instantly
pirated. It was a direct booking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before you even knew what a direct booking was.
I had no idea what it was. That's why I'm so grateful. Shout out to Fred. And then I remember that moment, man, that first, two specific memories from that awesome musical experience that I had. First of all, I'm super lucky that I was able to go to a high school that like put money into like theater arts and like we had a beautiful.
It's so hard to come by now.
100%, man. 100%, man. And two specific memories from Peter Pan is the first one, the first time I ever stepped on stage, and I felt that, we had like a little joke bit as pirates, we point to Captain Hook, but he ends up being on the other side because we're doofuses. and when I just finished that first little intro song, I remember this feeling of just like not to, again, with the corny cliches, but it just felt so right, man. It felt like, oh, like this is a different feeling that I've never experienced. Like football was great and being in games and all that was awesome. And those relationships that I've made are very special to me. But like there was nothing like it being on stage for the first time.
That's the feeling when you find your passion. You know what I mean? And people find it in different points and times in their lives. Some people find it young, maybe in high school. Some people find it post college and they go back to get their master's or something else because they don't realize it till later on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They could be midway through their career and realize, I actually want to try to do this and this is what I've been always wanting to do.
Absolutely.
But it's always been in your subconscious and you just never put it through. But this time, you felt it right there.
It right there. 18, I was like 17. 18. Yeah, I was very lucky that it found me. And then I also remember because you're a high school musical.
Yeah.
We invited all the elementary schools to come see Peter Pan, and there was one full complete house. And shout out to Kauffman Auditorium in Alameda because that's still the like nicest theater space I've ever performed in. Balcony and everything, all full of elementary school kids. And I remember like seeing their laughter in the corner of my eye, and you could see this just wave of emotion start from the front and go all the way to like the balcony, and just thinking like, yo, like this is like, not only do I love like being on stage and I love performing, but I was like, this is something like very special. Like I knew automatically, like you're able to connect and make like so many people feel, and I could see it happening, and that always,
it's crazy because we kind of talked about this off camera, but the genuineness to a craft is sometimes hard to come by through people, especially in the entertainment industry. A lot of the times it's very social status, very, I want to get here because I want to be this XYZ. But I think when you're really tied down to something that you really care about, it's as genuine as the story you just told me. Unrehearsed, unfiltered, and it's something that, you just really love to do. And I think that's what really separates good actors from great actors. You know what I mean?
You know, you're far too kind.
No, I'm serious, man. I'm serious. I honestly feel that way. And you could really see that in how people say great actors choose their roles very specifically once they are able to do so, right?
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's just like the music industry. Not every pop star wants to be a pop star. They just want to put out the music. But because they have to kind of hit some sort of quota and kind of prove themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then later on, their music changes, their artistry changes, but it's the same thing for actors. So,
100%.
You know, like, yeah, definitely. Just got to put that out there because I feel the genuineness. And if you don't feel the genuineness through the screen, you're missing out. I'm just telling you. Okay?
Love,
genuine.
Man.
Right here. Genuine. Right here, man. But I mean, so you went from that and then you went to school later on at CalArts. CalArts is an amazing school, if you guys don't know, and we also talked about this off camera. Sometimes we're not aware of the things we could do in school and the ways our lives can go to. Not everyone's a lawyer, not everyone's a doctor, an accountant, or whatnot. There are other things out there, especially in the creative area, where you could actually go to school for it and make something for yourself if you really push and you really try. CalArts is one of those amazing schools to give you that platform.
Well, I gotta, yes, shout out to CalArts
and Valencia, California. Whole bunch of places, yeah.
There's a lot of great avenues and a lot of different paths, especially in like the entertainment industry, especially for actors. There's a lot of different journeys. I did choose to go and train in a very conservatory like institution, you know, focusing on body and movement and voice and different types of storytelling. But I just have to do a little quick little another shout out, a little side note. Prior to CalArts, before that awesome experience happened for me, I went to a junior college, which, if you guys don't realize, is an awesome opportunity, an awesome way to spend a year or two figuring stuff out.
And to save money.
And to save money, absolutely. Because, you know, at 18, it's really hard to decide, like, you know, what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Right.
And I was thankful to go to a couple awesome junior colleges in the Bay Area, Laney College, College of Alameda, Chabot College. And thankfully met, you know, some really awesome mentors, some really awesome people that showed me like, hey, yeah, that's cool that you're trying this out. Also, there's all these other avenues. There's all these other like, oh, because I remember I went into junior college thinking like UCLA university, like that's it. I want to get my degree 2 years done. And I had people and counselors and awesome teachers. Shout out to the Hassan family, Duff Hassan and Linda. They supported me in that, but then they also showed me, hey, have you thought about like CalArts? Have you thought about like all these other like different institutions where that? And I went to a good high school that supported theater arts, and I didn't know that was even an option for me, you know? So shout out to all the junior, whole lot of shout outs, man. but I'm very thankful to have like the experience of community college prior to CalArts.
I think conversations like these are so important because, you know, the community that where we come from, especially being a person of color, minority in the industry or whatnot, we don't get this, we don't get this information quite a lot, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I get it. Our parents are, you know, immigrant parents who've worked hard to come here and to give us the best life that they can. So they want the best for you. So when they think about, say, being a creative or acting or just anything in that type of field, you know, they know how hard it is. And they just want the best for you. So maybe they don't skew, their perspective is skewed a little bit. So they don't necessarily say, okay, maybe you should do this or you should do that, because they want the best for you. But I think conversations like this help give options to those people who are marginalized sometimes. And, you know, and I think the more and more you talk about it, the more and more you prove like, hey, you came from here and now look at you now. You know, I think it's a conversation that should be had more so often than not. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah. Man. And I hope if there's anybody listening out there that's, you know, aspiring to be an artist or not, it doesn't really matter. Just know that, like, you know, you have options available, especially if you're a California resident. You know, junior college is pretty much free. And if you need financial help, like there is financial aid that like you're basically getting paid to go to JC. Like, come on, guys. Like that, it's out there.
And you're figuring your life out.
Yeah, and we're all at the same time. Absolutely. Man.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I want to kind of understand how the process was. I mean, like, you know, let's like bring this to like inside the actor studio a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, how was it? I mean, you booked other things. You've booked other roles or whatnot, other co-stars, and you've worked on other projects. But this is a big one, obviously, with the society. How was that process? Like, from the first audition tape to, did you send in a tape? Did you go in front of casting directors? Like, how was it for you? What was that process like? And yeah, how scared were you as you kept getting closer and closer?
To be honest, not to sound, in any way cocky, mm-hmm, I wasn't ever really scared.
Okay.
I wasn't nervous. I did, I'd read with these casting directors multiple times, bringing me in for different
roles. So there was a relationship there already.
There was some relationship there, but I'm going to say the stuff that really gave me the confidence, mm-hmm, was at the time that I was auditioning for the Society.
Yeah.
I was also doing regional theater in Long Beach. I was working on a classic Tennessee Williams play.
Which theater?
ICT in Long Beach.
Okay.
Yeah, they performed like right in next to the Long Beach Convention Center.
Oh yeah, Long Beach Performing Arts Center.
Yeah. So they have like a little theater on the side. ICT is really
awesome. I performed there before.
Really?
I went to Castle Long Beach. So like, shout out to Castle Long Beach.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, options, guys. Options. There's doors. Yeah, so at the time, while I was going through all these, I think they brought me back three times, one audition and two callbacks, mm-hmm, for two different characters. When you're working on theater, one, you're staying sharp, you're, mm-hmm, staying engaged, but also it's really like you have this sort of relaxation in it, because going into these auditions, I know that, hey, I got a show at 7 o'clock, right, or 8 o'clock that I got to do and knock, mm-hmm, out. So I think that as an actor, it's important to like, stay busy, stay sharp, right, like, you know,
be on your craft,
be on your craft, like, don't turn down opportunities, because that's the stuff that really led me to something magnificent, like, you know, the Society on
preparation meets opportunity, right?
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Absolutely. So it was kind of a blur. It's not that I wasn't thinking about it, but I just had, you know, other work that was, you know, on my mind,
right? So yeah, you were doing it and, you know, almost like throwing it out there and then just seeing if it was going to catch or whatnot.
100%. And that's very important. Like, when, mm-hmm, you go to these auditions, like, you're going to face like thousands and, mm-hmm, thousands and thousands of no's, and you can't get hung up on that.
That's,
you,
true,
know, you got to like let it wash off you like water, like, right, like do your best and like throw it in the sea, you know, and
then, exactly,
just, you know, on to the next one or on to the other work, like keep the train pushing.
I think, yeah, that's something definitely people have to practice,
yeah,
you know, all the time, because, you know, sometimes we get stuck and we're like, okay, what happens to that audition?
Oh yeah.
What happens to this? You know,
yeah,
is this ever going to come? Is this ever going to, you know, happen?
Totally. Dude, when I first started out, man, yeah, and like getting those, like, you get higher and higher and higher, mm-hmm, like callback, and then you fell, and then producers, and then you fell again. Man, I was crying in my car after some of my callbacks, because you think like, oh, this is going to be it, and then you blow it, and like and like emotionally, like, I can't.
It's draining.
Yeah, it's draining. It's I can't do that every week. So you have to get this tough skin, but you also have to have like an understanding of like, yo, there's so many things out of your control.
Right.
There's so many. Just do your best, and that's it.
And keep it pushing, basically.
Keep it pushing, man.
Well, you're doing the same thing, you're keeping it pushing, like, it's,
yeah,
let's talk about some projects you're doing now, okay,
because right,
it's 2019, the digital space and social media is almost like a blank canvas for any artist, actor, producer, writer, whatnot,
yeah,
basically to have. It's their canvas, it's,
absolutely,
right there, and you could do so much where you don't have to wait for the role to come to you,
mm-hmm,
and or a project to come to you, because you can do it all yourself.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Which segues into what you're currently doing right now and what's currently on your plate with Miho, right?
That's
heavy on your plate right now, because,
yeah,
you've done a lot. I'm going to let you talk about it because I don't know how much you can say about it. It's in post right now.
Yes.
And it's almost done. But explain to everyone what the short film's all about. Like, how did that process come to be? Because you're a writer and a producer for it. And this is all new for you.
Yeah, I was about to be like, yeah, I guess I am.
Is it crazy to hear that?
That is. I think that was like the first time I really heard it. Like, that was that kind of.
So I can say Hollywood hyphen it now.
All right. So let's talk about Miho.
Let's talk about Miho.
That's crazy. I wrote and produced this short film, mm, and, you know, we're submitted into like festivals right now. And it started in the beginning of the year in February, coming off of the Society,
right,
coming back to Los Angeles, having, you know, some money saved.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to stay busy. I was still auditioning. Mm-hmm. I was still doing other work, commercial and film and television work. But I wanted to stay busy, and I wanted to continue working and not just, you know, rely on the industry,
right,
to provide me my work.
Of course.
And I think that's very important to constantly create and challenge yourself and exercise, mm, other creative muscles. You know, you can't be in the entertainment industry in this day and age and not wear multiple hats.
No, you have to continue to hone your craft, but also learn otherwise too, because if you're put in a position like this where you can do it, you'll have the tools to do so.
Yeah. So that's where it started. It started in the beginning of the year, going to coffee shops and just writing. Like, I knew that I wanted to write more. I knew that I wanted to, that's not my strongest point, you know, and I wanted to just hone in on that. And I've never written anything before. I've never written a script. I've never written, you know, I barely would proofread my essays in college. So, like,
I could totally relate.
Yeah. So where I started with Mijo was I just was writing in my notebook, pen to paper, which I think really makes a difference. And just writing memories, just writing thoughts, writing how I feel, writing what I did or what I'm going to do. Like, nothing really structured in a stereotypical script that you're thinking out. And there's two people, there's a lot of people that I need to thank for Mijo and the journey that it's been on this year. But two people in particular. The first person is Henry Burge, who's one of my very good friends that I went to school with. I told him that I was, you know, trying to create my own work, and I shared with him the short story that is Mijo that I wrote on a, you know, piece of binder paper. And he was the first person to tell me, like, you have to make this now. You have to do this. And I really appreciate him sort of like kickstarting, you know, me into getting this production in motion. And then the second person who really helped me out on this journey was another friend that I went to school with at CalArts. Her name is Erica Ortiz, and she really has been just a guardian angel, a quarterback. She has spearheaded this project. She's a fantastic director, a young female Latina director, and she graduated from the film and video program at CalArts. And what she did for this project was just, you know, she was the anatomy of what Mijo is. She brought so many people together and really pooled her resources, not only to film it, but also in post-production. She's really just been on top of it. Just talk about wearing all the hats. Just a complete pro. I owe a lot to her. In fact, quick story. While we were in school, one of the first times we hung out, we got in and out, and we were just getting to know each other and just opening up because we were just, you know, vibing. And I told her this story in, I think, 2015. I told her this story of Mijo, of like when I was a little kid. And she was like, I swear to you, she was like, I want to make this. So when I had the rough paper there, she was automatically the first person I thought of.
You're like, here's a binder paper.
Yeah.
And remember that idea.
Yeah. And then she was so supportive and like literally sat me down and was like, this is the program. This is how you write a script. This is like, it was just like not only a blessing to work with one of my really, 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 you know, good friends who I consider family, but she was also just a teacher in so many ways.
I love that, man. Yeah. See, it's a lot of it is the connections you work with too, right? The people that you've met throughout the time.
Why school was so important to me.
Why school was so important to you. Why networking is so important. And you, when you know you meet those people, you keep them in, you know, you keep 100%. Them close. 100%. There's you know, you meet a lot of people along the way, but when there's people that you could work with and you could vibe with correctly, you can create some beautiful art out there.
Absolutely,
and you don't need a big network backing you up if you have so many talented people.
100%.
You know, that's around you, right?
And even if you're maybe lacking in the network aspect, maybe you don't have the resources, because that was probably the biggest benefit of going to CalArts the people that I got to meet. Not only are the next generation of like top tier artists, but people that I consider like friends and family that I get to collaborate with. But even if you're lacking in that sense, there's no excuse. Right. You know, we have so much technology in our pocket
and social media.
You can reach out to people and you can create something. You have to start somewhere. You know, I read a great book that a friend gave me called Rebel Without a Crew by Robert Rodriguez, you know, the guy who made like all the Spy Kids movies and El Mariachi and stuff like that. And he has this book, which my friend Chris Carmona gave to me. And it's like, it's the story of how he made his first feature, El Mariachi, back in like the 90s, bro. And like, he had to do everything. And we're talking about film. We're talking about cutting film.
Right.
You know, we're talking about sitting, you know, in little editor rooms.
This is on film.
for hours on end, not using the bathroom. And it's like, he wrote it and he was able to do that. And I remember reading that book and I just breezed through it because it was so captivating, and thinking to myself, like, that solidified the whole, like, oh, we have no excuse, man. Mm. Like, he was able to do that with those circumstances.
In this day and age,
I can cut and edit something on my phone in my pocket now with iMovie. Like, just put it out there.
You can literally make a short film off of 100% your phone.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Constantly create. Let's get this going.
No, it's crazy. And I mean, you've done projects. You worked on projects that have been more passion project-like or whatnot that have turned out amazing and really well. You know what I mean? When I first saw you, when you came here into the studio, you looked familiar. And I was like, well, I don't remember where he's been in. But I had seen pieces of Instant Crush on my YouTube feed. Because I watch a lot of shorts made for YouTube and things like that. You know, especially like community-based, culture-related type stuff. Because it's cool to see because, you know, being Asian-American, you know, we don't get to see it on the big screen all the time. You know, and same thing. And being any person of color, you don't get to see it too much. But when people create it, it's there. There's some amazing work out there on YouTube. And just Vimeo and just things just like that that are out there that people don't know about. But I saw you on Instant Crush. And I never watched it fully through, right? That's and then when you mentioned it, I was like, I have to go back and watch this. This was on the We Are Me Too channel on YouTube. I'm sure some of you guys know or might have come across some of the videos that they've had. But it's so great to see, you know, you doing something like that. And you said, you know, if you want to expound on it a little bit, it was one of those productions where it was bare bones in a sense, right? And you were doing it to create something beautiful.
Yeah, the passion, you know, behind it. I mean, shout out to Me Too for, like, producing something like that. Actually, the guy who gave me Rebel Without a Crew, you know, Chris Carmona, he is actually the director and writer of
piecing everything
of Instant Crush. Yeah, Nino on top of it. So shout out to Chris in Southeast LA. When I first met him, it was at the Me Too offices, and I knew automatically, like, this kid, he has it. He has the passion, he has the drive, he has the storytelling, and he's also someone that is so grounded and so appreciative of where he comes from. Right. You know, Southeast LA, he uses all his friends from Southeast LA. All his stories are surrounded in Southeast LA. But what really captivated me about Chris and Instant Crush and that work was that it was work with Latinos in it. It was work, you know, in the world that Latinos live in.
Right.
But it wasn't based and around, you know, being Latino. It was just people.
It was just the story.
It was just the story. This cute little rom-com of a guy meeting a girl and a little pug.
Right.
You know, when you work on these, you know, I've worked on something, you know, as big as Netflix, which was an amazing experience, you know, month long, like very challenging in its own way. And then you work on like these smaller, like independent projects. It's the independents that have this drive,
it's a vigor,
this pressure of like, yo, we have to get this done. And maybe it's because I have this athletic background, and I do believe acting is athleticism. But it's that sort of pressure and drive.
It's a competition heavy type of feel when you're really, you know, in the last quarter.
And I think it brings out. I think it brings out some of the best work. Some of the most interesting, captivating work comes from that, man.
No, definitely. I mean, I saw that. That's something that was created off of the cusp of not a big network. You know what I mean? A working network. You know what I mean? And it had backing, but still. You know, so I love that it's so important, you know, for, and you're speaking on it, to create all these things and whatnot. Absolutely. And not just sit around. I think that goes for any working actor that's out there. You know what I mean? Especially the ones who are waiting, in a sense, for what's next or whatnot. If you have the opportunity to do so, pick up the camera, pick up a pen and paper, just write. You never know where it can go. You never know what could happen to it. Something that you created, literally. Who knows? Something that you created, like, with Miho, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to put it out to the festival circuit. You're going to put it out there. Who knows if it's something that could, you know, be exponentially huge later on if a big studio is like, hey, can we produce a feature out of this?
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen these days.
That's true with anything. You never know what's going to happen unless you do it. So, like, you might as well do it. You have to start somewhere. I always compare it and think about it like swimming. Like, when we all first started to learn how to swim, we sucked. We'd drown. We'd sink to the bottom. We didn't know. But we enjoyed it enough, or it was, you know, we were interested in the activity enough that we continued to do so, and our muscles got stronger.
We got
better and better. Now we can, like, tread. We went from doggy paddling, you know. And that's what anything is. Anything you do, you start at, you're going to suck at. Not that, like, my short film sucks. I love my short film. But, like, you know, you got to start somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And then you keep on going and going and going because you love doing it.
And I'll just continue to do better and better as you mentioned.
Absolutely.
Your craft's just going to get better and better as you try.
Absolutely.
You know? Yes. But congratulations on that. Thank I'm excited. You. Where can people see it later on? What's going to be happening with it besides it going out to the festivals? Is it going to be out to the public at all? Like,
we're still working the details on that. I mean, you have to see kind of what it does in the festival circuit first. And some festivals are really particular. Like, you know, they don't want any like public release of it because they want it there, you know,
exclusively to them.
Yeah, exactly. So we're gonna see how the circuit, you know, pans out in the next couple months. I will probably have like a screening in Los Angeles with friends and family, but essentially like this little story about a little kid using their imagination to kind of process their own reality.
Right.
I want that story told to as many people as possible, obviously, you know, right. So whatever that means, I want as many, especially, you know, the kids of color to be able to see this short
film. And it's partially your story too. I mean, a lot of it is your story, basically.
No, it's 100% my story. It's based on a real story. It's straight from memory. Yeah.
And that's exciting. When people see it and when they connect to it, I think they're going to get to know you a little bit more. And you know, they're going to love that. Like I said, you know, in this industry, being ambiguous.
That's a tough one.
Being ambiguous is really hard because you have to basically balance what you're doing, especially with a Netflix show like this.
Yeah.
And doing that. So when you open up to something that's a little bit more personal, I think people feed into that a lot more. And they love seeing that because they like to get to know you or whatnot. You know?
You know, I saw this really interesting interview with Seth Rogen one time, and he was talking about the writing process for Superbad. And he was talking about how...
I love Superbad.
Classic. You guys rewatch Superbad. But he was talking about the writing process for that, and at one point, like towards the end of pre-production or something like that, he felt, I think, like a little nervous, and he, you know, went to his friends and was like, "Are we being too personal with these stories?" And it ended up turning out that because the experiences were so personal that it resonated so much more with people. So like, I definitely like took a page from that in creating Miho. It's like, well, you know what? Just make what's true and authentic to you, and hope that trust that, you know, a larger community will resonate with
that. And most of the time, there's people that feel the same way you did or have gone through the same things that you have. So when they see that story come out to play, the relationship towards it is so much bigger than you'd ever expect.
Yeah.
Authenticity is definitely key to a lot of things when you're putting content out there, I think. You know what I mean? A lot of people are like, what's trendy? What you know, what can I sell? What can I do this? But honestly, a lot of authentic material and content that's out there is the ones that make it. So wishing you the best of luck.
Thank you, Nina.
On that right there. But I know the no worries, you're good. Hey, I heard my voice a little bit. Okay.
Sounds good.
We know the audio's working. Yeah. That's good. I want to get back a little bit into the to society a little bit, just to talk a little bit more about that, because I know the fans are curious. You had such a big cast, and your cast was like half US and half Australian, which is like
there's a lot of
awesome to see. I know a lot of Australians come out for pilot season, and they do a lot of work out here and whatnot. Yeah. And this just so happened to be where it was like a half and half.
Yeah.
Where it was like Australians and US actors. And how was that mesh? Like, how was the chemistry on and off set? Like, did you just go to set and, you know, you went home after and that was it? Or was there like a whole, like, it seemed fun.
Dude,
like,
it was a blast, man. I'm so fortunate to have a cast that, like, we totally gelled. We totally got along together.
It's such a big cast.
I know. And you never know, you know, big young cast, it was very reminiscent to like the first years of college. Yeah. A lot of us were in the hotel and some of us were in apartments, but it was like going back to dorms every single time, you know what I mean? Getting off of class and going back to your little dorm room. Australians are really cool. Natasha and everybody, obviously super bomb. But even when I like have traveled, you know, I've done some traveling, like anytime I meet an Australian, like some of the nicest people I've ever met.
Shout out to my homie Mark. We've been friends on Instagram and social media for the longest time, and he's a producer. He does music. He came out here to the US for the first time, and I was like, you're the nicest guy that I've met in a long time. They're just nice people.
Shout out to Australia.
So it was a good time on set.
Really
just
good.
Like college.
I'm sorry. Like, I wish I don't. There's no drama.
I love
there's
that.
No, like,
that's great, man.
No one's doing anything crazy. No, it was a really, really good time. time, and I'm super excited to get back with the gang, especially the guard.
Right.
excited to get back with the
boys. I can't wait to see what they're going to do with your character, and just like everybody's, because there's so much character development that could happen with each person. There's no dead character. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's something could happen with somebody and they could write so many things. I'm so curious. And I'm sure you don't know anything that's going on because obviously.
I know nothing.
You know what I mean? Stop hassling him. He knows nothing.
I don't know who the dad is. I don't know where we are. I know nothing. But that's what's really exciting about this. There's all these different avenues and you have all these different arcs. And it's just like, oh, I have no idea how any of this is going
to
turn out.
That's so exciting. And it's so exciting to see what's going to happen because you're shooting, you know, in 2020. And we'll see when it comes out. But I'm so glad you guys got a second season.
Thank you, brother.
But I want to get to know you a little bit more besides the society and Miho and all that stuff. All
right.
So, you know, I want to play a little game.
Oh, no.
I want to play a little game. Ooh, is that my game show music? Emilio, welcome to This or That.
Oh, no way.
This game is simple. We're basically going to ask you a question, give you two different options, and you're going to choose this or that.
All right.
That's rapid fire. So, you know, we're going to make it fun, and the people want to get to know you a little bit more.
Okay.
Shall we?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Ready? In 3, 2, 1. Nike or Adidas?
Nike.
Netflix or Hulu?
Netflix.
Better say Netflix. Cake or pies? Ooh.
Cake.
Okay, there we go. Chicken tenders or chicken nuggets?
Nuggets.
Okay, road trip or flying?
Road trip.
Beach or mountains?
Beach.
NorCal or SoCal?
Come on,
I already know what you're going to say. I don't even know why I put that in.
Come on,
Shout out to the Bay. Shout out to the Bay. TV shows or movies?
Movies.
The theater stage or film or TV set?
Nothing compares to theater.
Here we go. Disney or Universal?
Disney.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Thank you. Okay, cool. Reboots or originals?
Originals.
That's a hard one. I know.
So hard.
Yeah,
that
I know.
One's so hard.
I know. I want to say originals too. We'll talk about that in a second.
Cool. Okay.
Chill night in or night out?
Chill night in.
Okay. Be stuck in an alternate dimension. That sounds familiar, right? Or be stuck in the quantum realm.
Quantum realm.
You just be floating around?
Yeah.
Like Ant-Man?
Quantum realm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Cool.
That means I'm in the MCU.
There you go. hey. Okay. I'll take that. Ali or Lexi for mayor?
Lexi.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Who are you?
I'm Jason.
Oh, okay. If you were Emilio, would it be different?
If it was me, you're tripping. No, if it was me, I'm holding it down in my own little house, and I'm only kicking it with my homies. I'm like, what, you think I'm playing by laws or rules? No.
Perfect. Sorry. Okay, there we go. And then last but not least, favorite AfterBuzz host, Nino or Nino?
Nino.
Thank you. Okay.
Come on.
You made it. That's
Come
it.
Come on, dude.
Perfect. Okay.
The anxiety did. That got me.
Did it?
Yeah, it
Caker did. Caker Pies got you.
Yeah, Caker Pies. I'm a sweet tooth guy, man. That's what I...
Thank you, crowd. Like, thank you, in-house studio. I appreciate that. That was the game, This or That. You did it.
Thank you, brother.
Congratulations.
Gotta keep me on my toes.
I knew NorCal, so why did I even write that down?
Dude.
I get it. Shout out to all the friends in the 707. Shout out to you guys over there. And everyone else in Stockton and whoever, wherever.
Yeah,
love you guys out there. But as we kind of draw towards the end of this, I really want to just give you the platform to kind of speak on whatever's on your mind at the moment, whatever you have going, you know, for you, and just anything you want to say, basically. You know, you have a platform off of this, but I think, you know, it's important for... you know, us to be able to give you whatever you want to say, whatever you want to do, promote stuff. It could be deep. It doesn't have to be deep. Anything you want to say, feel free to talk on the camera, talk to me, whatever.
Well, first things first, definitely check out The Society coming 2020 for season 2. And the second thing, I'll make it short and sweet, man. First of all, I appreciate this platform. I appreciate you bringing me out. Nino's the man. AfterBuzz is...
We appreciate you, man.
But one thing I want to say with this opportunity that you've blessed me with, man, is just keep on dreaming, you know? Keep on dreaming. Dream every single day. Mm-hmm. The bigger, the better. And know that you can achieve that. Like, I love cliches, brother, but we got to keep on dreaming. And that's the only way we're going to come up with some bomb solutions to make the world a better place.
It's important. I think people just need to be reminded all the time, as cliche as it might be or whatnot. You just need to hear it constantly so you can constantly keep on going.
Absolutely.
As Nipsey Hussle says, the marathon continues, y'all. So shout out to that. That's the interview, guys. I hope you enjoy that. That was a good, solid, you know, dude, time right there, man.
Appreciate it.
Right?
Absolutely, man.
Hey, y'all. It's your boy, Nino. You can catch me at Nino Lanero on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook here at AfterBuzz. You can still catch me on MTV's X on the Beach. We film every Thursday. Out of AfterBuzz, you can follow me on Tayo News to give you your daily dose of Filipino news every day. And if you want to follow, I was about to say Jason. If you want to follow Emilio, Emilio, let them know where they can find you.
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at Emilio.GS. And thank you again, Nino. And
of
seriously,
course, man.
Thank you, AfterBuzz.
Anytime. All right, y'all. We'll see you next time. Deuces.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.